reading today is from the Old Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, that's hard to say, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
The second reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. Listen again to God's word. Jesus is talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and they ask him, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And this is, he gives a long response. This is part of that response. Jesus' words. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So, too, will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The message in both scriptures this morning was clear: wake up, be ready, stay awake, wake from sleep. It was repeated so often it could sound like we're being shouted at. If it's not about sleeping in church, which of course it's not, then what is it urging us toward wakefulness for? While we most often think of December and the season of Advent as preparing us for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, what we are also reminded of today is to be ready for the second coming of Christ, the hour of which no one knows except the Father, says the scripture. A major difference between us today and those in the first century, especially the Apostle Paul and others, was his expectation that Christ's coming again would be during their lifetime. Obviously, that didn't happen. And despite others over the last 2,000 years predicting this or that day for Christ's return, what has been true is exactly what Jesus said about it. About that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, him, Jesus Christ, only the Father. And so we too wait for the unexpected hour. But rather than gear our lives to that event, ought we not be living the same life, whether Christ's second coming is tomorrow or another 2,000 years? As followers of Jesus Christ, why would we live any differently? We don't want to miss the fullness of life in Christ right here and now. If we're awake to him now, we'll be awake to Christ whenever. And that is the intent of the season of Advent, to shake off the dust that has collected on our good intentions or this past year's resolutions, and to prepare ourselves to go deeper with Jesus this new church year. So, as you know, Jesus became incarnate some 2,000 years ago, God's gift to us in the flesh, a body like ours, with feelings and laughter and tears and full of spirit, who told us while on this earth to abide in me as I abide in you. God is out there in the far reaches of the universe and all around us on this planet Earth, and within each and every one of us. How amazing and wondrous is that? While we remember and celebrate his birth each year and seek during the weeks leading up to his birth to open ourselves and draw closer to Jesus, our God opens himself to us once again at the stable, in the quiet of a night, in the silence of our hearts, yearning for us to awaken. What does it mean for us to wake up? As I've been working on this sermon the past couple weeks and the word awake kept jumping out at me, it quite naturally brought the words of a hymn to mind from the past, and yes, that is where the sermon title came from for those of you who know that hymn. Awake, my soul, stretch every nerve and press with vigor onward. This clues us in to some of the aspects of wakefulness that are helpful as we think about it. Awake, my soul. Just the naming of soul gets us out of our heads alone. Our faith is not a head or mental activity alone, only memorizing or believing certain doctrines. Rather, it embodies all of who we are, mind, body, heart, and feelings. Awake, my soul, stretch every nerve and press with vigor onward. You can feel the energy in those words, verbs, and motion. As important as belief and the use of our minds are to our faith, so too are our physical and spiritual capabilities, our bodies, our feelings, and our soul within. In Western cultures such as ours, we tend to live in our heads much of the time, in our intellects and our reasoning. And so, for example, some of you might, along with me, make pro and con lists sometimes for important decisions, for and against. But have you ever gone through that exercise of making a pro and con list about a decision, and then to go ahead with the con sign of the list? I have done that. Something in me, and perhaps in you, in your gut, in your heart, in your body said, this is the way to go, even if it doesn't make logical sense. This is often the divine flow within us, God's spirit working in and among us. Awake, my soul. Those are times when we're fully engaged, alive, focused. Something is stirring in you. You're fully attentive to the moment. Timelessness may characterize it, like, did an hour go by already? So perhaps, rather than asking yourself, when do you feel most awake, you might think about when you feel most alive. Advent is about touching that which is deep within you and going deeper. Christ is with and within each of us right now. So what is aliveness for you? If we went around a sanctuary and called the radio listeners and texted those people online out there, there'd probably be as many different answers as people with no wrong answers. Just what enlivens you and gets your full attention and heart? Gardening, flowers, sewing, paints, paintbrushes, hammers, saws and drills for some, mixing bowls and grills for others. For some, it might happen at a keyboard. For others, engagement with a ball of some kind, golf, football, basketball, soccer, flying, driving, running, gymnastics, technology, teaching. You get the idea. And of course, there's the myriad of relationships in our lives that fill and touch our hearts. Looking into the eyes of a child and seeing the world through their eyes. Or celebrating with a young person who discovers what they love and want to pursue in life. Or the peace with another with whom you've shared your life, where words are not needed. One cold morning recently, I sat in my living room, looking out my patio doors as the sun rose higher and higher in the sky, and the dew sparkled on the trees, the bushes, and the tips of the pine straw on the ground. Squirrels were doing their 100-yard dash up and down the trees and around them. It was nature alive, just pouring out its beauty on an ordinary day for anyone to look and see. It led me to thankfulness, not just for the beauty, but that I was fully there, that I gave thanks for my eyesight, for where I live, for a roof over my head. Nature, the natural world around us, opens many of us to the wonders of the grand Creator's work around us. Notice those times in your life, an aliveness that stirs within you, moments of timelessness, that touch of wonder that bursts in you. Note them, become aware of what it means for you to be awake and alive in body, soul, and mind. Being awake or alive doesn't only mean movement and outer activity. It can also refer to an inner stillness. Many of you set aside a quiet time of some sort to read scripture or daily devotion or to meditate. But some might wonder, thinking about, is this saying we must set aside times now at the busiest time of the year? There are many things we can do to stay in the present moment, which is the only time that we can meet God. We can't meet God yesterday, it's gone. We can't meet God tomorrow, it's not here yet. We can only meet God now, in this present moment. So practice being present, mindful in the moment. And it only takes, as you might guess, a moment. I'm going to mention a couple of simple things, because this has been on my mind for some time. Examples, but you can think of your own life. So think about driving your car and being present. As I began thinking about this a month or two ago, I quickly said to myself, I'm present when I'm driving. No tickets, no accidents, I watch the road. I'm not fiddling with anything. I'm not playing with my telephone. I'm not texting. But recently, I became aware that when I'm driving, and I'm guessing possibly many of you, how much I'm thinking about something else. I'm driving to Food Lion. Let's see, do I have everything on my list that I'm going to buy? I'm on my way to a meeting. Well, am I prepared now? What is my part in that meeting? So-and-so asked me to call her today. I wonder what's on her mind. So yes, I'm focused on the road, but I'm also thinking, my mind is half present. And so I was driving along, and I started saying to myself aloud, I'm driving my car. I'm driving my car. Here I am, driving my car. Saying that out loud took me out of my head, out of my thinking. It involved my whole body, my mouth, my vocal cords, the vibration in my chest, hearing in my ears. More of me was present and alert. It took me out of my head and planning to that very moment behind the wheel, noticing, yes, the trees, the puddles that must have been gathered from the overnight rain. Noticing more of the simple beauty that is always there, leading me again to thankfulness for eyes that see, that I have a trustworthy car, that I'm able to drive, fully present. A second simple example, how about drying or putting away dishes after a meal? I mean, I'm usually doing that to get it done and get on to the next thing. I'm half present. But as I put my attention there on the mug in my hand that I'm drying, holding it, feeling it, and seeing it, I think about where I bought it, who I was with, what joy it gave me and still gives me, and thanks filled me. Mind you, I'm not stopping when I'm doing that. I'm simply, you know, as I'm taking it and placing it in the cabinet, just doing that. I pick up the serving spoons to dry them and put them in the drawer. They were my mother's. And I think about her and her cooking and the blessing it was for me, teaching me to cook. And my heart is touched. And so on. The more I do these very simple things fully present, the more often I remember to be present when I'm doing them, and the more awake I have become, and the more thankful and aware I have become of God's presence in the simplest, ordinary daily tasks. It's a decision we can each make for ourselves. To be present, fully present and awake. God is not only present in the big moments of our lives, but every bit as much in the very ordinary moments that fill most of the days, most of the hours of our days. Am I, are you there to meet him? Awake. Awake my soul, awake each and all our souls, stretch every nerve and press with vigor on. Forget the steps already trod and onward urge thy way. Onward urge thy way, the God of glory accompanies us. Just a short prayer at this time. Dear Lord, in the many details of our days, let us be fully alive in the handling of food and the sharing of drink, in the preparing of work and the speaking of words, in the meeting of friends and the gatherings of family. Let us be alive to each moment, O God. Let us be fully alive to you. Glory be to thee, O God. Amen.